Chapter 29. The blue sun's effects were surprising, to say the least. While the color is normally associated with cool refreshment back on Earth, the reality of a blue giant was that it burned at nearly 4 times the intensity of Earth's own sun. Charlie knew this, of course, but that didn't make the strange, radiant heat any less oppressive. "I'm just lucky it's not a supergiant," he consoled himself. Those could actually double in heat yet again, though any planet in such close proximity would be reduced to ash. The sweat trickling down his back made the straps of the pack he was muscling back to the ship dig in even more uncomfortably. The pack itself was plastered to his skin, the moisture causing the material of his shirt to make a wet suction cup smacking sound whenever the load would shift and pull from his back. One small bit of fortune was a small metal flask each of the, what, servants? He hated to be called a slave. Porter, perhaps. Whatever the phrasing, each of the men laboring beneath the heavy load had one, full of water. It was the foul-tasting stuff, again, but it was something. Charlie unclipped the flask from the strap of his pack and took a swig. It was almost empty, but they were close to the ship. At least he thought they were, though the twisting aisles of the marketplace could be confusing, to say the least. He was about to clip the container to his pack once more when a running man barreled into him, nearly knocking him over, running into several others as well in his flight. "Hey, watch where you're going," Charlie growled, then felt a new dampness on his arm. "Oh, man, he sweat on me. Gross," he grumbled. Then he realized what it was, just as the man fell to the ground, immobile. Blood. Oh, shit. Up ahead, the sounds of a disturbance cut through the thickness of the crowd. Some rushed to see the conflict, but far more were running the other way. Charlie, feeling the natives likely knew best, turned to follow them. Zap! Right in the neck. "We keep going this way," the overseer said. "The ship's close by, and the captain wants us back." "But it sounds like Naripa." Zapped again. "Okay, okay, I get it. We go through the chaos," Charlie said. "But what about—" The Tslaver held up his hands. A slop was slid over the fingers of each hand. Charlie didn't think much of it, but Tuk-Tuk and the other's eyes went wide. "Quiet. Nothing will happen to you. Now move." He turned to his blue friend as they closed in on the sounds of violence. "Tuk-Tuk, what's the deal? You all seem legit scared when he showed his slops." "He's not that he has slop, Charlie. Is that he have 2 of them at once." "That's bad. He's very dangerous for user. Only very strong can handle it. And me know this man. He not strong. For him to wear 2 mean him scared. There be very bad things ahead." "Well, shit," Charlie said. "Just my frickin' luck." The jostling crowd abruptly evaporated, and Charlie realized they'd stepped into the impromptu arena, a ring of onlookers. He glanced in all directions, quickly surveying the situation. The pale Wampa was there, his dark hair slick with sweat. All around him, over 12 aliens of 6 different species lay on the ground. Charlie couldn't tell if they were dead, dying, or merely wounded, but he was impressed by the evidence of the man's skill regardless. But more were circling him. It was an incredibly uneven fight, and the pale man was unarmed, no less. "Making one hell of a good showing for an empty-handed brawl," he noted. A pair of attackers rushed at the Wampa. One bore a club with sharp spikes jutting from the end, the other a pair of blades. They attacked in unison. The one-at-a-time bullshit of martial arts movies was nowhere to be seen in this fight, and the pale man moved at a frantic clip to avoid the flashing weapons. With a fast snap of his hands, he broke the smaller attacker's wrist, sending one of his knives flying. The man's other hand still bore a weapon, however, and the Wampa took a slice to his arm as the injured assailant spun away. No sooner had he done so than the spiked club swung through the space he'd just been standing. Any normal man would have been dead, impaled by the weighty instrument. But the pale fighter twisted in an almost impossible way, the spikes only grazing him as they passed. Charlie found himself rooting for the underdog, while the Tslaver tried to lead them in the safest route around the fighting men. From the parting crowd, A young, violet-hued man with bulging muscles raced toward the Wampa's back, a large spear preceding his speeding body. The intended target was oblivious, too busy fending off the other two attackers. If you asked him later, Charlie would say he didn't know what possessed him to do it, and that was the truth. In the spur of the moment, he saw what he considered a dirty trick, and his sense of fairness kicked in. "Look out, behind you!" he shouted, hurling his flask at the running spear-bearer. Charlie had never been a very good shot, failing at basketball and baseball alike back on Earth, but even he was bound to make a good show once in a blue moon, or blue sun, as the case may be. The metal clanged off the attacker's head, distracting him just as the Wampa turned, the spear narrowly missing his torso. The pale man's eyes flashed brightly, then locked on Charlie a moment. "Is that blood on his lips? He must be more injured than I thought." A tiny flicker of a grin tugged at the corner of the Wampa's mouth, and Charlie suddenly felt very unsure if he'd done the right thing. This only compounded when the pale man turned back to face the three men attacking him. He quickly parried a series of attacks with blinding speed, then rushed backward a dozen steps, creating space. "He's got to be getting tired. Why doesn't he just run?" A fourth man entered the fight, a faint purple glow forming in his hands as he joined the armed assailants. This, it seemed, was what the Wampa was waiting for. He stomped his right foot, and the men hesitated. "Tuk-Tuk, why did they stop?"
"They just realized what kind of Wampa they dealing with," he replied. "Not so easy. This one no victim. This one hunter," he said, then hurried even faster, trying to distance himself from the scene.
The last thing Charlie saw before his group dove back into the throngs of spectators was the Wampa clapping his hands and barking a guttural word.
"Askukta,"
he growled, and for a brief instant a near black blast of power flew from his outstretched hands. The four men fell as if pummeled by a giant hammer, their bodies broken and twisted. Only the man with the purple glow had survived, but only just. The Wampa reached down and hauled him to his feet, pulling his head to the side, exposing his neck as he leaned closer. Charlie didn't see what happened next as supporters all rushed into the crowd, hurrying back to the ship. But he didn't need to see. He couldn't believe it, but he knew what had happened. That wasn't his own blood on his lips, he realized with horror. "Wampa," he softly said, "sounds an awful lot like vampire."